Okay, good morning, church. And I speak here at the church quite regularly, but most of the Sundays it's in Finnish language. And it's always a bit different to prepare a sermon in different language. And but many times it comes kind of, I don't know, I've talked about this topic with other pastors and people who prepare sermons, and it's a bit different process for different people. That's what I think. That's what I found out. And but many times it's like something starts bubbling, or something. Sometimes it's something personal. Sometimes God is. Feels like it's speaking through His Word to me personally, and then I get to share it. Sometimes it's more, I don't know, who's this message for who is this? But it doesn't leave you that message, and so I've had these thoughts. I would say, past 3 years, more or less. Serving the church, something similar or something kind of bubbling under. But especially this, I think this past month, like a month ago, I got a message that my friend, he got into pretty severe accident at work in Australia. He was working on building site, and there was scaffolding, and then he fell down like 4 meters, and then later in hospital he died, and he was only 32 years old, pastor's kid, and somehow it just felt like, why is this happening? But life is short, and if we look, if we understand anything about eternity, this life here on earth, it's really short. And that's what here Psalm 103, there's these two verses, 14 and 16. It's David's psalm, and praise for the Lord's mercies. And here in 14, for He Himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over it, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer. And this is maybe familiar verse for us, but it wraps up the human life in really short period, that just like now we see at springtime, we see the nature comes to life. We see different flowers, they come and they flourish for a moment and then they're gone. And that's how God's Word is describing the human life. And I've had this topic or stumbled this topic in my mind the whole week, or it's a topic that has been relevant the whole plus 3 years I've been serving here at the church, watching one generation of older Finns when they get the call to heaven, when they there's been so many celebration of life events happening, and also I've been working part-time at the Finnish home. There's this end of life. It's you can grasp that because there's a lot of people that the years go by, they're not there anymore. Like there was one of the church members, Kalevi, he used to come on 6 a.m. Friday prayer meetings, and then we were praying together, and he was opening his you got a window to somebody's heart when you're praying with them, and then you're praying, you get to know the inside of that man and how he's praying for God and for other people. And then one Friday, you hear that he's in hospital now, and then next Friday, he's in heaven. So, and this eternity aspect of life, it's always there, but there's so much noise. There's so much things happening in our lives, and it's not. We ask Christians sometimes, we just put it somewhere there in the back burner or somewhere. It's not urgent. But this, when you see the world, it lives like this. It lives like this life never ends. It just goes on, and there's growth and careers and all these things that you fill your life, you build your life, and then in one moment it's gone. And even though I have had these thoughts and I was contemplating, I was like thinking like, I don't know, this is a subject I can preach about, like communion and what happened to cross, or something more kind of theological. But then yesterday I was out with my kids. We have a back alley there, and there was a lady who came to me, and she was like, "Are you speaking Finnish?" I was like, "Yes, we are." And then she switched to Finnish. This older lady in her 70s, and we started speaking, and then she told me how 4 years ago her husband passed away, and how her husband used to go to church and knew this pastor that I know too, and then what this one sentence that she said like, life goes so fast. And I was like, okay, maybe I don't need to contemplate this anymore. Maybe this is for me, it was kind of okay, I'll preach this sermon this morning. And this eternal aspect of life, even though we know these things, there's so much, like I said, noise. We're busy with life, work, career, family, that and there's no urgency, there's no burden. We go to church, but then are we not worried about others? Or we know that we have things in order with the Lord. And if we don't, today is the good day to put them in order. And especially we go to communion to check how's our relationship with the Lord. And here on Luke 10:38, there's these two ladies. We know the two ladies too. 38 and so on. Martha and Mary. Now, as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." So there's these two ladies, there's a lot of teaching about this dynamic between these two, Martha and Mary, and how they were different and how were they similar, but it's this I feel like myself too. I get caught with life, busy life with kids and work and worrying about finances or worrying about what's happening next, or we're so many times like Martha, worrying about so many things. But then this, what Mary chose, like then we should stop and lay down and listen what Jesus has us to tell more. And then I think Psalm 139. I had a service this week at the Finnish home, and I was taking these verses there. Psalm 139:14. "I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that we were ordained for me, when as yet there was none, not one of them." So here it's David again, and he's talking about this, how in God's book there's all our days and lives are there. God knows everything before even it has happened. And God's word tells us how he knows us, our lives, our hurts, our secrets, shortcomings, sins, and he loves us, has a plan for our lives. This is one of the main messages in Bible, that how God loves every single one of us, and how he has a plan for our lives, and if we pursue that plan, he's promised to guide us, lead us, and it's the best life we can ever live. As for young adults, give your life to Jesus. He has the best plan for your life. If you are lost, you're figuring out this life, Jesus has the best plan for your life. But it's you need to submit. You need to give your life to Christ, and And for older Christians, check your relationship status today. What's your relationship? How is it now? If you compare when you got saved, when you met the Lord the first time, you didn't know everything that you know today. But how was your heart? How was your you felt that your sins were laid there on the cross, and you left that sin there, and you got freed, you got saved, and how's that relationship? Is it, are you worried about the what your life or finances or career or something, or are you worried about your immediate life circles, the people that you that don't know Christ, that have no clue that they're going to hell or marching that path? And here, are you so tied to your own projects and plans, or is there something that you can lay or you can get it distracts you for what's happening around you? And here, 2 Corinthians 5, and this is 2 Corinthians 5, 11, 15. Here, Paul is talking to Corinthians. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest to God, and I hope that we are made manifest also in your consciences. We are not again commending ourselves to you, but are giving you an occasion to be proud of us, so that you will have an answer for those who take pride in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are sound in mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. And this verse, love of Christ controls us. Love of Christ, and one of the NIV says, compels us. And in Finnish, all translations, it says, love of Christ demands us. So is love of Christ controlling us? Is it is it compelling us, or is it demanding us to tell about Jesus Christ, our Savior? Is it compelling us? Is it controlling us, or is someone else in control? Is someone else compelling? Life. It's not easy many times. Many times we are thrown curveballs. There's different situations. There's sickness. There's tragedy in family or relationships. And those things, they throw us off. But then, Is the love of Christ compelling us? Sometimes I find myself not burdened about my close relatives or the world. It's kind of, there's so much noise. It's just, I can't carry that weight. I have enough weight in my life. But then, and if you if you have that eternity lens that you look this life, it's all the hardships, all the things that happen in our life, they're still secondary. There's this compelling love of Christ that should be the main drive in our life, that we see our neighbor, our co-workers, that we see that through that lens, that hey, they don't know the Christ. I don't know how to approach. I don't know. Maybe somebody else is better to tell about Christ, but we can pray for them. We can pray that opportunity to open. And when you're giving your testimony, when you're having, when you're feeling that something that Jesus saw in this world, or what God sees in this world, how He loves the world, then God will open those opportunities. God will give those words to say, and like there's a lot of teaching about in here how we are the light, we are the letters of Christ, how we are the salt that needs to be salty in this world. And it's us Christians that we need to carry the message. We need to deliver the message. That's gospel. It's good news. And then I think that if the love of Christ would compel us, and we'd see this world by His eyes. And here's one example. Here is in Matthew 23. Matthew 23 and 37. Here, Jesus is coming to Jerusalem, and he's talking about lament of Jerusalem. 37. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together, the way the hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate. For I say to you, from now on you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Here, Jesus is telling how he sees Jerusalem, how he would, there's a lot of prophets sent to Jerusalem, and how often he's wanted to gather your children together the way the hen gathers her chicks. And how do we see this world? How do we see this world, this city, our community, our family? How do we see them? Do we see them through that lens of eternity, that this life is fragile, it's just that through that eternity lens, do we see this life? Do we see our community, our city? Are we seeing what God sees? How he loves our neighbor, how he loves our every one of us. And if we've touched, we got a taste of that love, is it driving us to share it? And how do we see it? Jesus works through ordinary people and through church. Like, I'm glad when I was a kid, I grew up a Christian household, and I got into books, And I read a lot of books. A lot of books about like godly men and women giving their life to Christ and how God used those men and women. And they kind of, even though I wandered off from the faith, took my lap in this this world or loop. It's still those stories and they kind of they stayed there and still they're there. I remember about ordinary people or their lives, how Jesus called a lady. And she was sure that Jesus is calling me to do a missionary work. And then she just goes and nobody believes in her. And she ended up in Hong Kong. And then in Hong Kong, she started working as a maid and kind of still had that calling. And then she ended up working in with the lowest of one of the slums in Hong Kong that doesn't exist anymore, and how ordinary woman heard the call of Christ and had the burden of souls, and then she went. And then what happened through her ministry and throughout the years and decades that she did ministry in Hong Kong, how wonderful things happened. And it was not about her being so special. It was she saw the world through the eternity lens, through Christ, how Christ sees the our neighbors. And there's so many examples. Bible is full of those examples that how people with flaws and with different backgrounds, different personalities, some are hard, really hard, some are soft, but how God uses different people, people who just submit their life to Christ. And then Jesus works through church. And we want to see you flourish. We want to help you find God's plan in your life. We all have our own plans, and we should pursue this, and we should do this, and we should this. We have these own plans and ideas, but then what's God's plan? Do we go and ask and seek what's God's plan in our lives? And it's not like pulpit here. It's not everybody. There's a lot of different things that you can serve. You can find your calling. There's all kinds of different ministries. And that's the best thing when you find that your calling, what God is leading you towards something, and then you can serve other people, as Jesus set an example that we are serving others. We're serving like the last, he was just before he was crucified, he was washing the disciples' feet, and he set that example for us. And and here at the church, we want to see you flourish. We want to help you find what's God's plan in your life. And we want to grow with you as a church. That's serving is the key. And maybe that's for the next time, about serving and finding your place in the body of Christ, and how we're building up others, and when somebody's hurt, we encourage them, and we walk beside them. Sometimes we carry them, and when somebody's hurt, we hurt. We are we were with them. And here, I want to finish here Psalm 139 before we go to communion table. Here, 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word in my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night. Even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as today. Darkness and light are alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God! How vast is the sum of them! If I should count them, they would say, outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God! Depart from me, therefore, men of bloodshed. For they speak against you wickedly, and your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with the utmost hatred. They have become my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful way in me. And lead me in the everlasting way. This is what Lord saying to us, that we are wonderfully made. Wonderful is God's works. Life itself is wonderful. It's beautiful. It's God's gift. And then when we go to communion table, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way.